It has not been a secret that this generation, I think people in our generation, have been enchanted by secret and dark world of spirits. People are so much interested in contacts with the dead vampire stories and psyche world. It is not too hard to find some of those stories from day-to-day TV programs. I checked the TV programs one day just to see what sort of titles I could find in relation to those topics I just mentioned. And of course, I do not have any cable TV, and it was just free TV programs. I need to tell you that I have not seen any one of those programs I'm going to mention about. But I have read the brief introductions of those programs in order to get some ideas about those programs. In one night, I found four programs on TV showing some sort of spiritism. And they are like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Medium Psychic Interactive, and the Vampire Diaries. I'm sure that there are more than those programs you may find stories about fallen angels, mediums, and vampire stories. I read a critic's corner about a recent movie, Twilight. I do not know the full story, but I know that the film stars in this movie are hugely popular, especially amongst the teen girls. Apparently, it is a story about love between a teenage girl and her vampire boyfriend, then husband. Consider what vampires are. In the vampire genre that arose in the 1800s, demon-possessed, undead, former human beings who suck blood from their victims to sustain themselves. A vampire is evil. And the vampire came to Stephanie Meyer, who is the author of this particular story, in a dream. And he was not only supernaturally beautiful and sparkly. In fact, she fell in love with this being who virtually moved into her head. We must know that God strongly warns us not to have anything to do with the occult, which is a part of the dominion of darkness, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The subculture in our society glories occult movements. The evil spirits are beautified, and the good and evil are mixed. Ouija boards are found in many American homes, I was told. Horoscopes and astrological predictions are found in most major newspapers these days. People are either making fun of the spiritual world or seriously pursuing the power of darkness. I remember that I saw one particular TV program in the States about more than 20 years ago or so, and it was talking about Satanism, and some people killed innocent victims in order to receive the power from the world of darkness. That was the simple reason that they killed, they murdered even their friends. People are fond of those stories. However, the text we are going to study today indicates that the spirit world is not something that we can lightly deal with. It does not exist only in our imaginations or make-up stories or some sort of legends or some sort of myths. It is real, and it is also a dangerous territory. And thus, as I'm going to expound this particular passage of the Scriptures, we constantly need to pray to the Lord that the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts and guard our thoughts and minds. I believe that even this text, which was read as today's text, was arranged in this place with a particular purpose. Matthew has introduced Jesus as the King of the Jews. Thus, his messages are authoritative and powerful. He proves himself as the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Then he commands his disciples to follow him. Then he demonstrates his power over nature or the physical world, as we have studied last week. Then we move into the territory of the spirit world. It is because Jesus is the Lord over, not only over the physical world, but also the spiritual world. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of both the visible and the invisible. We have already seen that Satan, the prince of demons, attempted to tempt Jesus in chapter 4, but he miserably failed in that chapter. Now, Matthew moves into the work of some of the servants of Satan and shows us that the evil spirits are not the counterparts of the Lord, but they are simply waiting for the last moment to be fully and finally punished. One particular feature of today's context or text is that it does not talk about the evil spirits in the world of the spirits, but in the world of men. So we are not talking about spiritual territory for evil spirits, but physical territory of the evil spirits. Evil spirits were in the man, in the physical world. We come to a passage talking about demon possession or demon-possessed man. I hope that we will be able to observe a couple of things here. A couple of observations first, as a part of my introduction. Number one, the physical world is not totally separated from the spirit world, but quite often interconnected, according to this passage. The spirits can influence on the mankind on this earth. So some people may be actively working for the sake of the evil spirits. That is very possible. Second observation is this. The stories of spirits, unclean spirits, demons or Satan, are not folk tales, myths or legends, but actual and real stories. Third observation is this. The power of the spirits can influence on the minds of the people as well as the bodies of the demon-possessed people. In other words, the evil spirits can take control over human faculties and make the man miserable. It is a proof of three things. Number one, man is more than a flesh. Number two, the material things do not explain away all the phenomena we see and experience. Number three, man may be controlled by the outside spirit influences. That is very possible. And fourth observation is that we also need to know that not all spirits are good, but some are evil and unclean. The fifth observation is this. The demon-possessed ones need to be delivered. Probably there are more things that require our attention. We'll think about the passage as much as we can study today, and someday we'll have to revisit the issue again when similar stories are mentioned in the Gospels. So this issue is not going to be dealt with a completion today, and we are going to study the passage as much as we can, and we will find out the devices of the evil spirits, and we will get the victory over them through Christ Jesus. Let me begin with my first point concerning the spirit world. In order to discuss the passage, probably we need to begin with the synoptic work of the Matthew passage with other parallel passages in the Gospel, which are Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And so let me try to harmonize those passages with the Matthew passage. In fact, Mark and Luke's passages are longer than the Matthew passage, which means that probably Mark and Luke will provide us with more materials concerning this particular event. It means that they offer more materials for us to consider. Matthew does not give the name of the unclean spirits, which is legion in other Gospels. Matthew does not give us the number of pigs, while Mark says that it is about 2,000. Matthew does not tell us details of the torments the demon-possessed man had to suffer with. Matthew also does not talk about the healed man's desire to follow Jesus. Probably, the reason that Matthew did not write all these details is related to the purpose of his writing. He focuses on the kingship of Jesus for the Jewish people. Therefore, as long as he demonstrates the kingly power of the Lord Jesus, the details are not so important to the purpose of his writing. It is also possible that this region of this particular event was not Jewish, but Gentile. It is because that was the area where the pigs were tended. And we know that pigs or swine were unclean animals to the Jewish religion, Jewish rituals and so on. Therefore, they did not want to have anything to do with those unclean animals. The name of the place, secondly, of the event, seems to be different in three Gospels. Matthew says it as Gergesenes, or G-R-G, that's the spelling in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Mark says it was the place called Gadarenes, Mark chapter 5, 1, while Luke also says Gadarenes. And which one is right? It seems that Matthew's place name is different from Mark or Luke's name of the place. It is not easy to identify those names with any particular places. However, the best solution we can think of is that one name refers to more specific name of a location, while the other name refers to more broader region. And maybe something like this is Queen's Park or Kilburn. But oftentimes, when we write our own postal address, we put London, and something like that. And so it is a very possible solution. It is because Jesus came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is a place right next to the waters. So Jesus traveled from one side of Galilee and to the other side of the Galilee. So it was a place right next to the waters. However, the demon-possessed people lived in the tombs, more or like in the mountains. Therefore, we may safely say that one name is a more specific location name, while the other is a region that covers a bigger area. Third harmonization is this. Matthew tells us that there were two men, while other Gospels mention only one man. The best solution to this seeming discrepancy is that there were two men, but probably only one of them spoke to Jesus. The thing happens in Matthew chapter 20, the same thing happens in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, where Matthew records about two blind men, while other gospel writers mention only one of them. So those differences in numbers really do not pose any challenges to the truthfulness of this record of the event. The passage we are studying is talking about a serious issue of demon possession. It involves two issues. One is that there is such a thing like a demon or demons. We are talking about the existence of invisible and spiritual entity, or spiritual territory, or spiritual world. Two, these invisible and spiritual demons can possess the people and control the animals. It means that they can take their abodes in the bodies of the physical beings. We cannot see them. However, those spiritual beings can take their abodes inside of the physical beings. As a result, they can actively involved in the affairs of human beings. Thus, they are spiritual but influential and workable in the physical bodies. In this case, their presence in the bodies influence not only on the bodily movements but also on the minds of inner beings. On the minds or inner beings. These talks are huge, and I'm sure that there are lots of things we will have to study more in the future, and our studies will be limited to today's context, today's passage, and I'm sure that there are some things we do not fully understand about the spirit world. We will leave those parts for our future considerations. As we will have to study on this subject, we will have to pray very hard that the Spirit of God guards and protects our hearts, minds, and bodies. We do not treat the subject lightly, just out of curiosities. Let us consider a few matters concerning the world of spirits. First of all, they are real. The modern-day skeptics of the Bible do not believe in the spirits, or some people shrug it off by saying that such matters are just psychic, and we do not have to worry about it. People say that it is just a part of superstition. Whatever man may say about the spirit world, we must say that it is real. I cannot go into good angels today because our subject is not about them, but bad and evil ones today. There are a couple of things we need to ponder on as a preliminary talk. First thing that we must recognize is that through the existence of the spirit world, we must know that man is more than a body. Man is a spiritual being. That's why the unclean spirits find their workplaces within man. It seems that when we are talking about spiritual aspect of man, we are talking about both his mind as a center of emotions and his spirit as a faculty to respond to God or spiritual entities. Though the evil spirits are invisible, they demonstrate themselves by using others' bodies for their evil works and activities. It seems that in order to work in the physical world, they require physical bodies. Thus, they took their abodes in these poor men who were possessed by the unclean spirits, as we can see from Matthew chapter 8. Later, these evil spirits asked the Lord to send them to the swine. So when they were coming out of these people, they wanted to be sent to the bodies of the swine. Their invisibility does not mean their non-existence. That's why they are dangerous enemies. And a demon-possessed man acts and behaves uncontrollably because he does not control himself. He cannot control himself. But demons control him. It is a very interesting point. When a person is possessed by demon or demons, the person loses his self-control. I find the following passage very interesting. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23 are talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God. You may want to read those two verses, verses 22 and 23. Okay, let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It is very interesting. There is a big contrast between those people who are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit and or who are belong to Christ Jesus and those people who are in the flesh. The last of nine aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is temperance. And temperance is referring to self-control. Self-control. The demon-possessed man is not able to control himself, but controlled by the evil spirits. But when a person is bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that person is able to control. And even verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. As a believer of Jesus Christ, if we have lived for and in the flesh, we may have to seriously reconsider our spiritual condition before the Lord. Of course, the body is not the only one that the demons use out of man. They control the minds of their victims, and they spoke to the Lord by using their victim's voice. A demon-possessed man can demonstrate extraordinary power and incomprehensible behaviors. Mark chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 3 says, and who had his dwelling among the tombs? So we are talking about demon-possessed man. He dwells among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with the stones. So there is very strange behavior and very extraordinary power and strength in this man. This man lived in the cemetery. Instead of living together with other people and socializing with them, he lived in a very secluded and isolated, very unusual place. Luke chapter 8:27 says that he did not live in any house. He is a man, but he does not live like a man. Of course, it is not always the case. We find other instances that the demon-possessed people lived within the community. Therefore, we do not say that the demon-possessed ones live always in the cemeteries. That's not what this passage is talking about. Therefore, we do not say that demon-possessed people must live in the cemeteries always. We may simply say that they are unusual. However, in the passage we are studying, the demons dehumanized their victims. That's the point. And this man had very unusual amount of strength. No one was able to bind the person, demon-possessed man. Even he cut the chains asunder. Fetters could not bind him either. He was able to subdue others, and no one was able to subdue him. And this man does not show his manly decency. Human decency is not found. Luke chapter 8 verse 27 tells us that he did not wear any clothes. He was not ashamed of his nakedness. Probably he did not feel any shame in that condition. Thus we see that he had lost his personality and true character and human decency. Instead, he showed the characteristics of the evil spirits. It is interesting to note that the Bible encourages the followers of God to be decent in their words, in their speeches, in their deeds, and even dress codes. I hope that all of our worshipers are decent people. I hope that someday I will speak about Christians' dress code, especially when they come to worship. At this point, I'd like to mention of the angels or the spirits. That is my third point. The scriptures speak of different classes or ranks of angels. There are cherubims and seraphims. According to the scriptures, cherubims have the calling to defend and to guard the holy things of God, and the seraphims are busy in the very sanctuary of God in heaven and appear before the face of God. The scripture also makes distinction between thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers in Colossians chapter 1:16 and Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. The Bible also talks about the angel of the Lord and of Gabriel, who stands before God for services, and of Michael, who as the prince of angels fights for the causes of God against the powers of darkness. In the meanwhile, there is also Satan, who was prince among the hosts of heaven. In fact, many Bible scholars have thought that originally Satan was standing at the head of the entire angelic world as their chief and prince. According to Jude verse 9, we receive the impression that he was even greater than archangel Michael. Revelation chapter 12 verse 7 indicates that Satan still has his angels over which he is the prince. He is leading in a battle against the people of God. From all these indications, we may safely say that Satan rebelled against God and he was very corrupt. If we read Jude 6 and 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, the sins in the angelic world were of pride and rebellion against God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6 says this. When it talks about the appointments of the office bearers in Christian churches, it says, not a novice. In other words, baby Christians are not supposed to be appointed to bear important church responsibilities and church offices, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, if we appoint certain people, still spiritually immature people, for very important offices, for church ministries and so on, that person may fall into the condemnation of the devil. There is a danger. In his battle against the people of God, an entire host of evil angels and powers are at Satan's disposal. Therefore, Paul tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now we may want to look at a few characteristics of the unclean and evil spirits. First of all, we cannot but say that evil spirits are intelligent beings. They are not stupid. They are not foolish. They are intelligent. They know what they are doing. They know where they are. They know what they are doing and what they need. Thus, they ask the Lord not to send them away from the country. It is a very interesting one. As these demons are begging to the Lord not to send them away, in particular, they said, "Do not send us away from the country." It is interesting. I do not fully comprehend this matter. If we see it as it is, it seems that evil spirits are territorial, and they did not want to go away from their particular region. They did not want to go out of the country. Their request was not just sending them out of the man, but out of the country. They did not say, "Please do not send them out from this man." They said, "Do not send us out from this country." And they asked the Lord to send them into the swine. It seems that they need some sort of embodiments. And they are capable beings. Not only they are intelligent, but also they are capable. We may find a few aspects of their capabilities. They are, first of all, capable of controlling people or animals. A demon-possessed man did not act or behave as who he was, as a human person with his personality and his character. He lost his character. He lost his personality. He was overtaken by the evil spirits. The swine acted against their normal senses. As a result, they ran down into the sea and they were drowned to death. They are capable of taking possessions of the minds of the people and whatever emotional part of the animals. Thus, men did not act like human beings, and animals showed abnormality. So they became suicidal. Mark chapter 5, verse 15, and Luke chapter 8, verse 35 says, Mark 5:15. Why don't you read Mark 5:15? Let's read it. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Villagers came after this demon-possessed man was delivered from the powers of demons. And they came to Jesus and they found this man who used to be possessed with the devil. And who used to have the legion, the demons, many demons, sitting and clothed. He was naked before. And it says, in his right mind. It is an indication that when someone is overpowered and overtaken by the demons and evil spirits, he's going to lose the control over his mind. So his mind is not his anymore. It means that the demons can modify the human behaviors and human minds. It is no wonder that the scripture tells us to keep our minds. It is because it is a battlefield. Their knowledge Obviously, they are very intelligent, therefore, and they are very capable, therefore their knowledge must be quite huge, far and vast. How do we know? Well, first of all, demons have their names. They knew their names, which means that they knew who they were. They knew the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 8 verse 29 says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They knew the name of Jesus. And they knew who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. They recognized Him. They had spiritual knowledge about God, Savior Jesus, and who the Savior is. That's why oftentimes devil is trying to influence on even spiritually motivated people to stay away from the things of God. You know, when you have a full of desire to serve the Lord, you will experience that there will be always some sort of reasons, causes, temptations by which you are being pulled back, pulled away from going to serve the Lord. There will be always occasions. If you miss one Sunday, I'm sure that next week there will be another reason coming up. Devil does not want to see that people of God coming to worship and serve the Lord. And so he provides all the reasons for us not to be able to serve the Lord faithfully. It is because the demons know who Jesus is. It means that they know God. In addition to that, whether you may fully comprehend it or not, the demons believe in God. James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Would you like to turn your scriptures to James? James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. Okay, let's read it together. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Man. Well, they have correct theology. So they know that there is God. So they believe in the existence of God. Besides that, they believe in a unique God, because they know and believe that there is only one God. Besides that, through their knowledge, what they are doing, well, they believe God, in God. And besides that, they are even showing the proper manner and attitude toward the presence of God. They tremble. They tremble. If we know that even the disciples of Jesus did not know Him very well, we must be impressed by the level of knowledge of these evil spirits concerning the Savior, Jesus. And they worshipped Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 6. Mark 5, 6 says, "But when he saw, the demon-possessed man saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped Him." It is worth noting that Mark does not say that the unclean spirits came and worshipped the Lord, but he, the demon-possessed man, ran to Him and worshipped Him. It means that the demon-possessed man does what the demons do. He does not live his own life, and he is being led and controlled by the demons. However, we should not be scared of them. We should not be frightened by them. It is because they are not almighty, they are not sovereign beings, but they are only limited beings. They know that they are limited beings as far as their time is concerned. They do not exist forever. In that state, what I'm saying is that in that active duties with their evil works and so on, there will be a time when they will be fully punished. Matthew chapter 8 verse 29 says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" There is an appointed time for their end. They will not be forever free to hurt the sons of Adam. They will have their time. When their time is up, what is waiting for them is not non-existence, but only a torment. They know it. We may be wondering why then they do not repent of their sins and be sanctified. Well, when we will understand that the repentance is God's forbearing grace for His people, when are we going to understand that salvation is provided only for the children of Adam by the blood of Jesus? Only torment is ahead of the evil spirits. Therefore, salvation is so precious and so valuable, we should never let it go away from us. And we must believe in Jesus Christ. We must trust in Jesus Christ by faith. The justice of God will be served to the evil spirits. After then, there is a place for them to go. Luke chapter 8 verse 31 says, "And they besought him," Jesus, "that he would not command them to go out into the deep." That particular location or that particular place requires our further studies in the future. But there will be a place for them to go with eternal punishment. And they have names. In this event, their name was Legion. Luke 8:30 says, "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name?" So here, Jesus is asking a demon-possessed man, "What is your name?" And what is the answer? And he said, "Legion." Obviously, Legion was not the name of this person, demon-possessed person, but the Legion was the name for those evil spirits. So even though this man, demon-possessed man was talking, actually that was not what he's talking. Actually, demons are talking through him. And because many devils were entered into him, it appears that evil spirits have cooperative work in individuals. Luke chapter 8 verse 2 says, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom sent seven devils." So Mary the Magdalene has been known as the person who was possessed by the demons before, and from her seven demons were cast out. It is an indication that evil spirits at times work as a group. This group of demons called Legion in the possessed man was powerful enough to drive 2,000 pigs to be suicidal. And they must be very violent beings. The demon-possessed man was very fierce, according to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. The Greek word for fierce means hard, difficult, hard to deal with, violent, or dangerous. The demon-possessed man was neither kind nor reasonable. Because he was so violent, no one was able to pass by his way. And they are very unmerciful toward both men and animals. Look at what they had done to the men and the animals. They made the possessed man miserable, so miserable. Though the body was not theirs, they made him cut himself. Mark chapter 5 verse 5 says, "And always day and night, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." They also made the animals kill themselves. The demons made their victims to abuse their bodies. It is a real pity that some people are so scared of demons as a result. They worship demons. I have seen them. And in fact, many years ago, I met a human trafficker, and I shared the gospel with that particular lady, and I told her about the consequence of sin and so on, and she said, "I know that Jesus may deliver me from my miseries. So I said, then why don't you quit doing your sinful things and turn your heart to Christ Jesus for salvation? And she said, but I am afraid of the spirits. If I betray them, they will punish me. That's why I cannot come to Jesus. What a sad, sad remark. And what a misery that she was going through, in fact. And people are serving demons because they are frightened by them. But here is a beautiful story about Jesus in the context. Jesus is the ruler of all the spirit world. So far, the evil and unclean spirits moved in and out of people very freely, but the presence of the Lord made the whole situation very much different. There are a few things we need to consider here. Jesus is the ruler of all. Mark chapter 5 verse 8 says, for he said unto him, Jesus said unto the demon-possessed person, and obviously demons, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus had the knowledge of the presence and work of the unclean spirits in the man. And Jesus had the power to cast the demons out. Jesus has authority to command them to go away from that man. And Jesus has a will to stop the work of the evil spirits. All of these points indicate that Jesus is the ruler of both the seen and the unseen. On the top of that, Jesus has power to punish them. It is an encouragement to all of his followers. Though the evil ones seem to be free to do whatever they desire to do today, they will not be able to do such wickedness forever. There is an appointed time for them to be judged and punished. The presence of Jesus sent a spirit of fear to the evil ones. They were terrified by the presence of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, they were so frightened. They had fear. His righteousness prevails over power of the darkness. The unclean spirits are not sovereign. Unless the Lord permitted them to enter into the swine, they could not possibly do it. We must know that God and the evil one are not counterparts in equality. God is the sovereign Lord and creator of all things, and Satan and his servants are only creatures. Thus, this event we have been studying this morning shows us who the true ruler of this universe is. This truth must be able to release all men and women in fear of serving the devil. God is supreme, and there is no one who is like our God. No one can be compared with our God. Matthew shows his readers that Jesus is the king, not only in the land of Israel and all the earth, but also in heaven and in the air. And Jesus is the one who frees the people from the bondages. Bondage of fear, bondage of idolatry, bondage of evil spirits, and bondage of sins. When Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to go, they went away. And the madman, the demon-possessed person, became a decent and normal person. True freedom does not come from serving wrongs and evils. How sad it is to see that so many people, even today, are serving the devils and demons and evil spirits by offering gifts and sacrifices to them and trying to soothe them, to give them some gifts so that they will be kind to them. It is wrong. True spirit, true freedom does not come from the evil ones. But true freedom comes from the ruler of all things. At the same time, we must know that Jesus is the sender of all sinners to eternal damnation. As Jesus was able to send the evil spirits away from man, so he will send the evil ones to eternal damnation. Just one word is sufficient enough to send them away. Go means go. The power of life and death is in the mouth of our Lord. But unfortunately, the people in that particular region where this demon-possessed man was wandering around rejected Jesus and they asked him to depart. That is something that I cannot understand. And maybe because of the loss of their wealth, you know, swine, pigs probably were their fortune and they lost it and so on. So they were mad at Jesus or they were very unhappy with him. I'm just wondering whether if the unclean spirits driven out from the possessed man eventually worked in the hearts of those people, not to be able to see the light of the world. Instead of coming to Jesus, they rejected him. It is possible that their loss of animals kept their hearts from seeing the significance of what Jesus had done to the unclean spirits. In fact, it is true that some people are serving evil and dark spirits for material gains. And we need to know that the main character in this event was controlled. The main character in this event was controlled either by the unclean spirits or by the Lord himself. When he was controlled by the evil spirits, he lived in the tombs and he did all kinds of strange things and so on. And when he was controlled by the Lord, he came back to his normal right mind. So this man was either controlled by the unclean spirits or by the Lord himself. It seems that there is no neutrality in the spirit world. We are either ruled by the Lord or by the power of darkness. And where do you belong to? Where is your territory? That answer has to be given by only you yourself. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have the Spirit of God within you? That's the question that you alone can answer for yourselves. The Lord's command. Luke chapter 8 verses 38 and 39 says, Luke 8, 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went away and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And I cannot give you full explanations of those verses, but let me just touch on a couple of things briefly. I want to mention of just the two things here. First, it is God who delivers the man from the evil ones. He's sovereign over both the visible and the invisible. And he's the deliverer and the liberator of the oppressed. And God must be glorified. The second point is that there is a question about the possibility for a believer to be possessed by the evil spirits. Is it really possible that the believers of Jesus Christ can be possessed by the devils or not? Well, I think amongst the Bible teachers, there have been some divided answers to this and so on. But I think that the Bible teaches that the person who is belong to Jesus Christ cannot be possessed by the evil spirits. He might be attacked, and sometimes he may be pushed. Sometimes he may be influenced and tempted. Sometimes he may be caused to do certain things against the will of God through the influences of those evil ones. And sometimes he might be attacked and caused a great deal of trouble in the spiritual battles in life. But if the Holy Spirit is indwelling the Christians, as the Bible affirms, then demons cannot cohabit with the Holy Spirit within the souls of the believers. It is possible that believers may be influenced or tempted or pushed to do the things or to live a life against the will of God because of these evil influences and so on. However, they cannot be possessed by the demons. It is because the sovereign God is the Lord, and He purchased us with the blood of Jesus, and we are possessed by the Lord God Himself. Therefore, we cannot be possessed by any other entities. And once we are saved, God holds us up, and we cannot lose our salvation. The Bible, however, warns the believers that there are always dangers from evil spirits and unclean demon spirits. In fact, according to James chapter 4, verse 7, there is a warning. In fact, James says that Christians, the believers of Jesus Christ, must resist the devil. So devil is going to constantly trying to tempt the believers of Jesus. Therefore, the believers must stand up firmly, and they must resist the devil. Then Bible says, then he will flee away from you. That's the promise. If someone says, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, therefore it doesn't matter whatever kind of lifestyle I'm going to choose and whatever habits or whatever interests I'm going to pursue, as long as I'm saying that I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, then I am going to be safe. But Scripture says, no, that is not the case. If we are genuinely saved by the mercies and grace of God, then we are to stand up firmly and we must resist the devil, so that the devil will flee away from us. Then how can the believers resist the devil? Well, in fact, James has given us the answer as well. How we resist the devil? Well, James says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Trust and obey. My friends, we cannot play with the evil world. We cannot play with the evil spirits. While we are living in sin, if we are claiming to be the Christians, then something is not right. We are gravely mistaken concerning the truth of God. We are not to be a part of those enjoyment that Satan and the devil offers to us. In fact, we are supposed to resist the devil. Otherwise, we may be influenced and we may fall into sin. And we are supposed to fight back. We are supposed to resist the devil. Then he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to the Lord. The demon-possessed man could not do anything about his condition, and the Lord healed him. But I am reminded of a caution given by C.S. Lewis. And you know, C.S. Lewis has a lot of theological flaws and problems. I do not quote him as a champion of Orthodox Christianity, but he has great insights on certain matters, and this is, I think, one of them. He said this: people make two mistakes in considering demons and demon activity. Either they discount it and think nothing of it, or they become too fascinated and too preoccupied with it. Demon activity is rare, more active in some darker regions than others. But it's something that Christians should not live in fear of. And this is what you know, this the C.S. Lewis said, either they discount it and think nothing of it, or they become too fascinated and too preoccupied with it. And that's what he said. What I can say is that Christians should not live in the fear of the evil spirits, even though they have to fight back, they have to resist the devil, and so on. It is because Christ has won the victory over all such evil forces. As Jesus delivered the demon-possessed people in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said, delivered us from the condemnation of sins, from the kingdom of darkness. And he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We become kingdom citizens. And my last question is this, as I'm finishing up my message for today, this morning. Are you ruled by Jesus today? Or are you ruled by something else? What is the dominating power in your life? Who rules over you? Who controls you? Is it God or not? And I hope that you will be able to meditate on this matter, and throughout this week, you and I will take efforts to submit ourselves unto the Lord, and we will resist the devil. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that Jesus is the ruler of all things, and He delivered the demon-possessed people from their miseries. And we are so grateful for the power and sovereign will and grace of our Savior Jesus. Dear gracious Lord, we do not want to be controlled or ruled over by the power of darkness. And help us to be obedient unto You always, and help us to submit ourselves unto You, Lord. And help us to resist the devil. It is because then he will flee away from us. Dear Father, we trust that we will have the victories over these evil ones in this coming week. And help us to be faithful unto You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.